Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from 1 Peter, and we're going to be focusing specifically on verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Well, we're on the second week of a six-week sermon series called Strangers in a Strange Land. And as we learned last week, what this whole series is about is that God's church, as it relates to the society and the culture, is no longer in charge. That the Christian message does not animate much of public life, and increasingly, it does not animate much of private lives either. And you know, we're finding ourselves as strangers here. Don't know what we're supposed to do with this. But, you know, the good news is that we're strangers because of the grace of Jesus Christ. We've received an eternal inheritance from him, and now our lives have a new purpose. And that is to show this strange land that loving grace and the inexpressible joy that we have, and especially the living hope that we all receive in Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so we are strangers in a strange land. Which begs the question, how do we then live in this strange land that we find ourselves in? Well, let me kind of give you a hint as to some options there. Remember that last week I told you that before my senior year of high school, I went on exchange to Germany and, you know, found myself in a strange land. And but I did what I could, you know. I tried to become German, you know. I went wherever my host family went. I went to school because it was a high school exchange. I tried to understand everything, tried to, you know, dig into what they were learning, you know, shared the meals, did all the fun stuff that they did. I did. I tried to fit in as best as I could. I'll tell you what, that was hard sometimes. I mean, even though I was a senior in high school, kind of got a little homesick, you know. Started to drag on after a few weeks, and, you know, I remember at one point I was sitting at dinner, and I just told my host family, I just said, you know, I'm not really hungry, I'm just going to kind of go to bed, and I kind of, you know, went to my room and shut the door and just wanted to be an American again, you know, wanted to be that person, just focus on myself and, you know, all the things that I knew back in America, and just did that. And so that experience came to mind when I thought about how we typically react to this strange land phenomena that we live in. There seems to be two ways that we can actually live in this strange land. And the first way is that we can, for want of a better term, assimilate. We can become like the surrounding culture. We can try and fit in with everything. And I have seen Christians do this. And yet at the same time, I feel like we've created our own subculture in this culture. Yeah, we've created this this culture that looks like the culture out there, but, you know, it's Christian. You know, we have Christian films out there, you know, faith-based films. You know, they some of them are good, but I must admit, most of them, not so much. We also have Christian music industry out there. And I mean, it's an industry. We have our own radio stations. We have our own recording contracts and concerts to go to. We even have our own video awards and music awards to go to. All Christian. We even have Christian books, Christian fiction out there. From thriller to romance to historical fiction. It's all there. We have Christian social groups. We even have Christian exercise classes. You name it. Whatever the culture is doing, we're going to do it and Christianize it. I actually was talking with not too long ago, with a pastor friend of mine who runs the ministry called Room 211 down in Lincoln, Nebraska, at Christ Church down there. And he discussed with me, here's how we put this worship service together. And I mean, it's packed every single Sunday. We thought, well, what do these people like to do? What do they like to do? Well, they like to go to concerts. They like to go get their coffee, their latte at a coffee house. And they also like movies. They love to go to the movies. Okay, so let's build from the ground up. So their worship service is like going to a rock concert, and they have tons of audiovisual, multimedia, movie-type elements in there. And you can grab your latte in the lobby and bring it with you into the sanctuary, into the worship space. And it's packed every day. Now, don't get me wrong. I love what they're doing. I love what Christians are doing, that they're trying to get out there. They're trying to connect with this culture. You know, this is 1 Corinthians 9:22. I have become all things to all people so that I can save some. You know, this is a good thing. But I wonder, if we are strangers in a strange land and, you know, we're trying to become like the culture, then why bother with the church? Why bother at all? Why bother with these Christian films when Hollywood has a lot more money to make a lot better films? Why bother with Christian music at all when it seems that non-Christian music is a lot more popular out there? Why bother going to a Christian yoga class when you can just go to the same exercise class at your local gym right down the street? I mean, isn't that not the point? That we are strangers in a strange land? And we're not to emphasize just how, like, we are the culture, but that we are different? That we are different people because we have been called by God in Jesus Christ and that we now live our lives for Him? Think about it. Maybe instead of showing the culture how we are like them, we should show them how we are unlike them, how our lives are actually different than the people living in the surrounding culture around us. How our lives are completely formed by the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ that is so out of this world. And yet it comes right into the midst of it. Okay. So maybe even while we try to connect with people, we shouldn't become exactly like the culture out there because we want to be different. But see, that leads us up to the other way that people actually view this strange land that we live in. We withdraw. We actually back off from the culture that we find ourselves in and just try to, you know, ride out the storm that's going on. There's actually a popular and yet very controversial book that came out recently by author Rod Dreher called The Benedict Option. No, it's not talking about what you're going to have for breakfast. No, actually, he's talking about Saint Benedict, who was a pastor living back in 5th century AD, and yet was horrified at what his Christians were living in. Pagan, barbarian lands. And he was sick and tired of trying to change things. So he took all his Christians and they retreated. They retreated into a forest, built a society right there, and focused on their faith, focused on their life together. In fact, that was the beginning of the monastic movement, the monasteries that then dotted all over the Roman Empire. And Rod is arguing that in the face of the culture that we find ourselves in, That's what we should do. Why are we fighting against it so much? Why don't we just retreat and focus on ourselves, on our faith, on our life together? And you know, a lot of people are listening. And think about it. When you look at the culture that we live in, when you look at the plethora of beliefs that people have, a salad bar there of beliefs. When you look at the morals out there and the freefall that they are in, this doesn't seem like a bad option at all. Why would I want to go out and live in this strange land and become corrupted by their values, by their practices, and lose my faith and lose my soul? You know, maybe we should just, you know, have our worship services, have our Bible studies, have our small groups, have our ministry here, our school, just have it all here, right here, focus on ourselves, and if people want to come and join us, fine. That's fine. But is that what our Lord and Savior wants from his church? To hide out, to keep your head down. Is that what the Son of God did? Hide up on his throne, stay on his throne, hide out, keep his head down while his creation, his world fell into sin and decay and corruption? Or did the Heavenly Father send his Son into the world? Did he not enter his sinful, fallen creation in the flesh? Did not God love the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Huh? And now that we have received that salvation, you know, the benefits of his death and his resurrection, the blessings of being called as his people, does Jesus not send his church out into the world? Matthew 28:19, as you are going, make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching. John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, oh yeah, and to the ends of the earth. The church does not withdraw. We engage in it. The church does not, you know, hide behind locked doors. No, they go out of those doors into the world. We don't keep our heads down. We lift our heads up and we look out at this strange land that needs Jesus. Okay, so fine, Pastor. We don't become like the culture and we don't withdraw. So what else is there? How do we live in this strange land? Well, maybe we live as distinctive strangers. Distinctive, not based on how we relate to the culture, but distinctive based on how we now relate to God. Look what Peter writes here. He says, as it is written, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That word holy there, it means to set apart, to take one thing and place it someplace else and to repurpose it, to give it a new purpose and a new life. So when your holy God, your Creator, completely separate from his sinful fallen creation, when he ransoms that sinful fallen creation, when he ransoms it by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and ransoms it by raising Jesus from the dead, that's when he makes you and me holy, distinctive, set apart, believers in God, His very own children, God's children. And now, you get to be holy. You get to be His obedient children. You get to live your lives in reverent fear in this strange land. You no longer conform to the ways of the world, but the ways of the Lord. You no longer seek to disobey God in your passions. No, instead, you seek the distinctive righteousness of the one who makes you righteous. That's how we are to live. But you know what? This distinctive life that we live has a unique expression. And it's right here in this text in verse 15. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He says, you. Now, automatically, we think, immediately, in this day and age, you, singular, you as an individual, me, myself, and I, you, be holy in all your conduct, okay? But actually, what Peter uses there is you, plural, you, all, y'all. I love it, Texas, you know, right there in God's Word. You all. He is talking to all of the strangers in a strange land that are living their lives together where they had been sent. And then he says, you all be holy in all your conduct. He's talking about behavior and not just some kind of, you know, grandstanding, distinctive, separate behavior. He's talking about your everyday life, the things that you say and do every single day, every day. So what is Peter saying here? He's saying that our distinctiveness as strangers in a strange land is to be on full display through the everyday lives that you and I live together. Peter here, there's no hint at all about putting on events that look just like the culture. There's no hint at all of people just hiding out behind locked doors. And there certainly is no hint at all of a bunch of isolated individuals who gather together, oh yeah, and let's call ourselves church. No. These are people that live their very lives together. They're intertwined. The things that they say to each other, the things that they do with each other, they show the distinctiveness that they have in Jesus Christ. And they do this for the whole world to see. The whole strange land that you live in. You do this in workplaces. You do this in schools. You do this in homes and neighborhoods. Wherever the people of Jesus gather, that's the distinctive life that you live. And so next week, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to look closer at what it means to live this life together. But know this today. You live as distinctive strangers. Strangers in a strange land that do not look like the culture, do not withdraw from the culture, but are distinctive. And that's entirely based on Jesus, on His redemption, on the faith and the love and the hope that He gives every single one of you. Amen.